It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Rita Strau, Steve Frampton, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com and simulcasting live on PTN Radio at PeoplesTVNetwork.com. My name is Maureen Holleran. I am an intuitive advisor with 25 years' experience as a tarologist, as well as the ability to see beyond the range of normal vision. I am motivated by good intentions and maintaining a remarkable degree of objectivity. I am well-versed in relationships, business, finance ventures, past lives, and good old-fashioned spiritual development. I'd like to introduce now my like-minded co-hosts and invite them to share their background and expertise as well. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Maureen. Really excited about the show. Most of you know, my name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, and I work with PsychicAccess.com, and very excited to be here this evening.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. And Allura, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Maureen?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good. Well, what I do is I use the Native American sacred path and animal medicine cards, and I use them as a portal to go into the realm of spirit that enable me to speak to your guides and to spirit to give you information in any area of your life. And it doesn't matter whether it's work, relationships, finance-oriented, anything like that. When I do that, what happens is when I use the animal medicine, it enables me to give you information that will help to balance your energy field, balance your thinking and emotions, and by doing that, it will empower you to make favorable decisions in any area of your life, and that's what I do.
That's lovely, and really lovely. Hi, Rita. How are you?
Hi, Maureen. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Excellent. Well, my name is Rita Strau, and I am an angel, channeler, and communicator, which means when I speak with people, I'm able to tap into their angelic community for guidance. Sometimes spirit guides come through. Sometimes deceased loved ones come through. In all cases, all messages that come through from the angels are for your highest good, and they're all based in love. So you'll always be able to find deeper meanings to what's happening in your life and obtain some kind of wisdom or guidance to help you along your path. It's very healing, and I enjoy doing it, and I do work also on PsychicAccess.com.
That's so lovely. Thank you for sharing that, everybody, all my co-hosts. And tonight, my very special guest, Dr. Sally Rhinefeather, will be joining us soon. And as the eldest daughter of Dr. J.B. Rhine, the father of ESP research, Dr. Feather particularly grew up at the parapsychology lab at Duke University, where her father's famous Zener, I can never say that again, ESP cards test with selected Duke students led to extrasensory perception, ESP as we know it, becoming a popular household word in America, ESP. She and her siblings served as test subjects in the earliest child ESP experiments conducted at the lab. As a teenager, Dr. Feather's first job was serving as her doctor's assistant, as her father's assistant. Boy, well, they're both doctors. Rechecking experimental test data. She served as a research assistant both before and after college, meeting most of the well-known parapsychologists and various visiting dignitaries who came through the Duke Parapsychology Laboratory. So after obtaining a bachelor's degree in biology, Dr. Feather returned to her father's laboratory to work on experiments exploring possible ESP exhibited by animals, as well as research into the relationship between memory and ESP and the effect of emotional moods on psychokinesis, mind over matter, and also known as PK. She subsequently, I can't pronounce that word, went on to earn a doctorate in experimental psychology from Duke University. Dr. Feather then worked over 30 years as a clinical psychologist in mental health and psychiatric clinics, as well as private practice in North Carolina and New Jersey. So since 1995, she has been active at the Rhine Research Center in various administrative roles, serving on two different occasions as volunteer executive director. Currently, she's working on research on a research grant on the phenomena of spontaneous psychokinesis PK experiences. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for a free on-air reading by four gifted psychics. We will announce that call-in number later in the show. And if you were unable to catch our show, our last of our four-part series, as a matter of fact, on Don't Worry, Be Happy, 2012, last week, you will find a recorded archive as well as archives for all the previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. And without further ado, I would like to welcome my very special guest, Dr. Feather. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Maureen.
Oh, I'm so happy and so honored that you're here with us tonight. You don't even know, but I guess I'll tell you about it later. But I am really honored because if it wasn't for the work, the things I read in the late 80s about what I found, what your parents had been into, I don't think I would have thrived to where I'm at today. So it even goes back full circle. Thank you. So I would like to ask you, I gave a little bit of a background about you before you came on, but can you tell us a bit about your parents? Although your work has been I really admire all the work you've done, and I know, if you don't mind me asking, I know you've always been connected with them, but they're wonderful people. I mean, LB and Louisa Rhine, both your parents, and the influence that today it has had on psychokinesis and also other studies, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they were many people. I'm very, very fond of my parents, and they were very good parents, and they were good scientists. They just came into this field not by plan. People don't get born and say, "I'm going to be a parapsychologist." It happened by a zigzag curve. They were trying to find some sense, meaning in their work, and they were both scientists at the University of Chicago, young people working on their degrees, and in the 1920s, and they just weren't getting the answers, and somehow a couple experiences that they'd heard about from a professor. My father had heard a professor talk about what we would call a very striking EFT or telepathy experience of one of his professors. And he thought to himself, well, if this is true, this is more important than studying botany or anything else he could study. So he did some research, and it finally ended up that he changed directions completely from what he was headed and went into to try to make sense out of what many of you said yourself had experienced as a child, making sense out of something psychic that was happening to other people, experiences. They weren't his own experiences, but it was those that he heard of others, as well as reports of mediums, although he didn't find as much there as he had hoped to. But still, he kept looking and looking. There must be something behind all this psychic stuff, and that ultimately led him into the scientific study of it.
Right. Well, you know, during that time, what was it at Duke? University, it was, what was it, 1930? Was it the 1930s?
It was in the late 1920s. He actually came down here to North Carolina in the late 20s in order to study or to find some answers with a professor who was starting the first psychology department at Duke University, which was a new university in those days. And he came down here just because he wanted to. He had some mediumistic material, you know, from a medium. He had a manuscript that somebody had given him that was very, very provocative and it looked very interesting, but he couldn't make sense of it. So he came down here to find a professor who he could he could study with. That's really what brought him down here in the way that many years ago before I was born.
Right, and you know, there was a professor at Duke, and he was open to your father's. I mean, your father was the. You know, if it wasn't for him, I don't think we wouldn't have had the term parapsychology. But there was somebody at Duke that thought this needs some more investigating. All this stuff that's going on, it's not.
He was open to it, you know, and that's the main thing about if you can find any of your listeners can find a university, a little college anywhere where there is a teacher or somebody in the college that will say, I don't know if this is true or not, but hey, let's do some studies and find out. Just open-mindedness.
Yeah, that's during that time period. Your parents being so open-minded, that must have been really interesting. I mean, I would love to have grown up in a family like that.
It's not easy to find those places
because
now.
That was during a time where there was a lot of. He didn't have a lot of people backing him. I mean, in fact, what I was reading about in 1934, they began experimental lab work using dice throwing experiments, and utilizing several volunteers that claimed to have, for instance, been able to use mind over power and to bring rewards for them at the gambling tables.
What you're describing now, the dice throwing, that would be to study what you call psychokinesis. That came along after they had already done the card test and found there was something to telepathy and clairvoyance and precognition. And then a gambler came by and said, hey, you know, when things are going right and I'm in the flow, I can influence the fall of these dice. So that seemed worthwhile. It was something that could be subjected to measurement. It could be studied in a laboratory. I mean, not like the gambler did it, but they took his idea and they, firmed it up and put it into an experimental design. And that was the beginning of psychokinesis as a university, as something that could be studied in a scientific way.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what I, you know, when I finally found you, I mean, I was searching for things, what was going on with me, and it was that I picked up this book and I read your parents, and it's, you know, it was interesting because I also read that your parents, they conducted the in 1934 they began the lab work, but they also conducted the tests and accumulated data until 1943, but they didn't make any announcement of the results until the 1947. The Reach of the Mind, publication, I think, and your father then concluded. So he was very scientific about what he
was doing. Well, I was very careful because, look, you know, here you were worried about it. Well, the whole world would say, I mean, many people at that time would have said, no, there's no such thing. And so you have to be very, very careful to be sure you're not fooling yourself. And he had to do it first as a scientist. And accumulate that information and make it look. They didn't just look for, like, was it statistically significant? They looked to see if were there patterns. Was this something like a psychological ability that, like, learning? And it looked like it was acting like a normal ability, just that it didn't make the same kind of sense that we can make out of learning or perception studies. So it took them several years to be really sure they had enough information to go public. And that was the beginning. And then other people, of course, began to do it also.
Well, you know, so I'm sure that. So I do know that the other scientific fields, they were, from what I understand, is they were trying to debunk his test or whatever the under the control, you know, control environment, and so on.
Yes,
but a lot of it had nothing
criticism.
To do with mathematics at all.
Yeah,
it wasn't to do with that at all.
The statistics of it all were under. Anything new. I mean, it's appropriate anytime you have a new finding. It's very appropriate to be critical and real skeptical and have, you know, you want to know that not just one person can get the results because maybe they're crazy or maybe they're cheating or something. So it takes science is a slow process. And so they had to accumulate the data and then get other people to repeat it, which has happened by now. We're talking about, you know, 1934. Back then this was really crazy, you know, wild stuff, and it brought a lot of public attention because it was really the first time that psychokinesis had ever, there's no such word, that was the word that was made up then to describe what was happening. Although you what telling, you know, what you're saying is that you were experiencing something in your own life, which could have been the way psychokinesis happens in the natural world, which, of course, if it happens in the lab, it happens, it has to happen in nature. But there was no place that had studied it and authenticated it.
Well, you know, that is, that brings me to another thing, because in your father's, because I, you know, I, like I said, I, he, your parents really were, they were really instrumental in what I got, what I was, who I was, or what was going on with me, not who I was, but, you know, I wasn't crazy.
But validating what you were finding, what you were experiencing, and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember reading something about, and this made a lot of sense to me, because your father's, your father came, I think he had some opinion about the existence of clairvoyance and telepathy or sensor types of phenomena, and matter affecting mind, PK is a motor type of phenomena, mind affecting matter. But in his opinion, I correct me if I'm wrong though, the existence of one implies the existence of the other, and he maintained that they are closely related phenomena, and that is something I could identify with.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One, for the first type, the ESP type of experience, is kind of a coming from you as a person are sort of passive, and this information is coming to you. The same way when you see something, it's coming from out there into your brain. The light waves are, but with the psychokinesis, it's something coming from inside yourself in some motor way. Your body is showing it. It's an outward motion, but he, from the very beginning, thought, well, this could be the other side of the coin, so to speak. And gradually, it's beginning to look that way. At first, I mean, nobody's entirely sure, but it seems quite to be the case. And so many people, I think you're one of them probably, if you have psychokinesis experiences, you probably also have ESP experiences, maybe than the average person. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the thing of it is, he also talked about that, as you know, like I remember reading about that it is I'm going to ask you this: do you think it is psychokinesis as well as sensorial perception? Is it an Italian? Is
Italian?
It an Italian?
Well, you know, I wrote this book called The Gift. And not Italian, but good American.
Yeah,
well, actually, all over the world. Gift, I think, is an ability that everyone has.
Is a perception, a talent that can be developed and encouraged, and is an ability present to a certain degree in all of us.
Yeah,
I mean,
the assumption is that it's something we all have. Now, you know, like say musical ability. Well, you know, some people that can't carry a tune. But, you know, and so maybe some people are clearly more, one way more musical, more gifted than the other. And that's what my assumption when I wrote the book on ESP, that was focused on the ESP type of experiences, was from what I was hearing from my correspondences, that some people are clearly more gifted than others. And they seem to have many, many more experiences than the average person does. Now, how much of that is genetic? You're born that way. How much of it is your environment? That still remains to be. We have ideas, but we're not. That's still a question.
Well, you
everybody probably has the ability for both of these, but the psychokinesis, the PK experiences, are much rarer.
Maybe we just don't know.
You know, it could be that things are happening to us and we just don't recognize them as well much.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about this because, you know, all my father's life too, and my father, you know, is older than me, of course, and him and I both, but we've always had street lights that are always, you know, having issues or something, but which is another form, but it's not controlled. It's not a controlled thing where people
want street lights. No. You can't turn it on or off because you want to. They call that the slider effect for Sonia.
Okay.
Walk by street lights and they feel like they go off. Well, they go off when they walk by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the energy of people or that person. But with the ESP thing, that was what I got really interesting from your parents, because my thing was about, there were things, and I was going through an emotional time, but it wasn't like there was a death in the family, but I was under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I lost so much weight, and it was a time where everything was coming to light for me, too, all my stuff about what was going on, and I wasn't I wasn't, what is the word I'm looking for, clouding it with things that were not good for me to put in my system, you know? I was very clear-headed for the first time in many years, so I couldn't ignore the fact that something was going on instead of saying, well, it's because I had something put in my system to think that everything was like that because maybe I'd been drinking or something, you know? I was very clear-headed, and I know one time, now this is the thing, one time my roommate was gone. I was having problems in this home. Well, there were a lot of things moving. I was taping things, making sure I wasn't crazy, like taping down movements of tables. Well, anyway, so things are going haywire, but I thought it was demons. But one time she was out of town in Texas, which was, I was in California. She worked on the, she was a GT, phone company. She worked on the big poles. She was a woman that worked on the big poles. She was out in this really secluded area putting up some wires for this little town. And that night she was there. I spoke to her the following night, but I was at home alone in this really neat old place that I was having all these movements of everything was going haywire uncontrollably, and knew I was doing it. But there was a knob. It's a little bit more detailed, but there was a knob on the back of our door. We went out to our back door, and there was a doorknob, and I thought somebody was trying to break in, but there was nobody there, and I kept looking. I thought I was losing it, but it was actually turning, and I got the worst feeling. In fact, I ran out of the house. I was scared to death. I didn't know what was going on, but there was nobody there. Mm-hmm. Well, the following night, she called and spoke to me. I don't know if she's in there tonight because I did invite her to the show tonight, but she called and told me this experience. She goes, oh, my God, I was in this little town, road town motel, and she goes, and all of a sudden we're in the room, this woman and her were working out there, and she said, all of a sudden the doorknobs, this guy was trying to break in, and the doorknobs start turning, it was so scary, and I'm like, what time? And so it turned out to be the exact same time that I was seeing that doorknob in my home turn.
That's a remarkable experience. Yeah, I'd like you to write that one down for me. It's if we were sharing something, some kind of energy, or it was almost like a telepathic, and yet it was psychokinetic at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's where the ESP is connected with the same. But they're able. There's a lot of people that dismiss that altogether. Can't be true. I mean, but
well,
your parents.
It's rare enough. It doesn't happen often enough that people see it as normal. But except places like our center, where people mail them to us all the time, and we hear about them, and then we know that this, these are the same people that we know and work with, and are normal and normal in every way, but they have these unusual experiences, and I think that's why it's so valuable that we're communicating, and programs like yours help with that, to let people know that these are normal. Now, as long if somebody were being upset or really scared or really hurt, then we wouldn't want to, try to do something to help calm them down. But basically, just education is usually enough just to find out that other people are experiencing these and actually are studying them. You see, we're collecting reports of these things right now, and we're looking to do studies of the kind of people that have them more than others and see what we can learn. But we do know that it's not an abnormal and it's not a negative thing. It's just that we don't understand all the reasons.
But thanks to the Ryan Center, which you are conducting this, I know you are doing
currently we're doing that, and somebody can go on our website and they can see under research that we are collecting stories, just like you described, of unusual physical things, which we'll call them PK. We don't have any other name for it. PK, short for psychokinesis. Yeah, and we're collecting them. We're learning things about them, and these people who mail us the stories will later get a questionnaire if they want to participate, and we'll ask them questions about themselves, all confidential, of course. So if they're interested in that, and then we'll share what we have learned, too, and what we're already beginning to learn.
Yes, my co-host would like to ask you a question, I think. And this is Steve, Dr. Feather. Steve?
Oh, yeah, hi, Steve.
Thank you, Maureen. Hi, Dr. Feather. It's wonderful to hear you. I'm really fascinated by what you're saying, and I wanted to ask you a question because I'm a psychic medium. I've always been a medium, and sometimes when I'm giving readings or mediumistic readings, doors open and close in the house, and increasingly I have problems with electrical equipment, particularly things like wireless telephones or wireless laptops, especially if they're metallic or they have a metallic casing, can actually cause pain in my hand, up my arm, right through to my neck. And I wanted to ask you if you've heard of that before, if there's any evidence about psychic energy or mediumship with certain devices.
I hadn't heard it specifically from a medium before. Of course, you know, there's a history of physical mediums. You're a psychic medium, so you don't produce, I mean, you're not involved in table tipping and the sort of thing that the mediums, and excuse me, I got a glass of water, the things that the mediums used to study in the old days. But you're a mental medium, but these things happen to you while you're in the middle of a session with a helping somebody, or is it just separately on your own?
Well, doors opening can be when I'm giving a reading, but then issues with electronic devices and pain from wireless devices, that can just be any time or all the time.
Yeah. All the time. And is that something, Steve, that you've always had, or is it just, has it followed any particular, you know, do you know why now, or is there any connection with anything else going on?
I've never used any wireless devices.
Yeah. Is that something that you've always noticed?
No, more recently, the last couple of years, I would say.
Uh-huh. Well, we do.
And in the last couple of years, I've been doing much more mediumship.
Well, and maybe you're getting in, right. It could be that you're opening up something about yourself. We hear this, for instance, of people who had near-death experiences seem to have, not all, but some, seem to report a lot more of this kind of experience happening afterwards. But on the other hand, we've done some questionnaire studies already, and it looks like there's one group of people that I would call, I don't know if there's a name for it, but they just have a lot of electromagnetic activity around them, and when they come in the room, the computer breaks or something goes wrong, and they often can't wear digital watches. You know, it's as if their body is exerting more bioenergy of some kind than other people's, and I think that may be one group of people that are, let's say, separate that might be a separate thing from Maureen was talking about, even although there could be an overlap. But we're seeing that, or some people just claim that this happens, but they do. We do often hear that it's connected with emotion, and if you're upset or stressed or tired. But yet, I've talked to one young man who says, "Oh no, I'm just that way almost all the time," and he's not under stress all the time. So I don't know anymore. At this point, we're just collecting the information too. But this is something that's coming from inside you. When we look at some other cases, we're wondering if it's coming from an outside source, like the door opening when you're in the middle of a seance or a reading, not a seance. You know, could that be coming from a spirit world? I don't know. We're looking at the different groupings of reports, and we're trying to find out, are we talking about one big thing that we all have a little bit of? And you have almost like a poltergeist kind of thing going on. A marine sounds like hers is really almost extreme, or has been. But again, it's all normal. We just don't know yet how to sort it out.
Well, thank you. It's absolutely fascinating. You've got so much knowledge to share. It's
you know, we're really asking yourselves and the public, because this is the beginning. Nobody has ever made a survey like this before. My mother collected stories of ESP stories, and she collected 14,000 before she finished. And some people sent her stories of clocks to stop when somebody dies and things. They sent her those stories, but there were very, very few of them compared to the ESP stories. But I think it was partly because we didn't ask. Now we're asking people, if you have these physical things, and let's talk about them, and let us know so that we can learn something. But we will be the first people, my colleague and I who are doing this study, will be the first people to collect them and look at them systematically like this.
Really exciting.
To find out something about the people themselves. Yeah,
you know, Steve, I'm glad you shared that, because, you know, there's been some people in the past. I think Rita was going to talk about this woman, but that woman from Russia that could move things. You remember her in the 60s?
Yes, you have a videotape on your website, Nina Kulagina.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, so she was around during the time you were around. I mean, you were around town.
Yeah. I wasn't involved here at the time, but yes, I know. She was considered a pretty good. I mean, sometimes there's fraud involved, of course. You hear
that,
but I don't think that was ever. I think people feel that she was probably pretty genuine, and I hear that we do hear other reports. They're not very common. There's an American one we should say what we're talking about because you and I know.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the very, very rare person who can mentally, with intention, move something.
Yes.
And she would move. It took a lot of energy out of her. It wore her out to do that, to attempt to mentally influence something to move, a little object. And then they put glass cages over the object to remove the, and observed her closely to be sure there was no magnet or anything, you know, trickery going on. And still these objects, little matches, for instance, moved around in a little pile underneath a glass cage. And you can, as I said, it's on your,
I picked that.
Because I think that's a good example of the most extreme kind of what's called macro decay,
large decay.
As compared to the little small PK that would be involved if the dice, you can influence the dice, that the kind that was studied and validated in the laboratory where my father's work years ago. And
so
now a PK is studied in other ways now in the laboratory, but it's micro. It's a tiny little amount, and you can't see it by looking at it like you can these things we've just been talking about.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the difference because I've been reading a little bit about that micro PK, and the wording was new to me, as a matter of fact. So she was what you would call the micro PK that could actually.
I would call her macro, M-A-C-R-O,
macro.
Big PK.
Big PK.
And I would think the things that happen to you could be called spontaneous macro PK. You know, if a clock stops or what Steve talked about, if things break like that you can observe and see them. That takes a little more force, as we understand force or energy. There's a little more energy going on there than can be measured very well yet in the laboratory.
Well, you know,
I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
Well, no, I understand. I'm following you. And the thing is, why I keep bringing up my situation is because I was very ill, and I was having a heart condition at that time. And it was draining me, even though I wasn't trying to do it on purpose, whatever the case may be. You know, I told you the story, but there were other stuff going on that I mean, I'd walk by, it was my energy or something, walking by the kitchen, things would start falling down, things would start, you know, jiggling around. I became real sensitive to the environment. And
well,
I was getting
that's a lot like the so-called poltergeist experiences. You didn't want them to be happening. They were out of your control. They were not intentional. With Nina, we just talked about the Russian lady. That was intentional. She was making an effort. And we don't know if anything happened spontaneously in our house or not. We don't know if people who began, like you did, and are able to channel this energy. Although I sometimes think maybe you channel the energy in some more positive way. Maybe you do healing or something like that. Maybe you use the same energy in a more directed way. You like to have it happen. That's a possibility, but it's not easy.
It's a very difficult. Psychokinesis. I mean, it's always been when I heard that name. You know, like I said, it fascinates me because you know being able to control. But your father felt that we actually all had it. Like I said, he mentioned that we all of us are energy. We're all energy.
So we
are capable of whatever. Do you do controlled study or controlled environmental studies at the Rhine Center on PK?
At the moment, we don't have anything quite like that. But what the modern ways of studying it now are more like trying to affect, let's say, in a healing. We did a healing study several years ago where we had healers coming in and trying by intention to slow down the rate of a blood cell breaking down, for instance.
Oh.
And that would be mental energy applied to a living system.
That's incredible. See,
that sort of thing. And that's a more modern way of studying PK now. Or there another way of studying it would be with a staring study. I don't know if you've heard the man named Rupert Sheldrake, this wonderful British biologist. He has made popular a way of, most people have the anecdotal feeling of having staring at somebody behind their back, and then they turn around and look at you as if they felt you looking at them. Well, he turned that into a laboratory study, and you can do that with TV screens so you can rule out, the sensory clues, and found out that, when in that kind of condition, then that would be a PK study on seeing if you could affect somebody to know that they're being stared at. It could be telepathy, but it's probably the effect of some sort of mental intention.
Well, Dr. Feather, what about animals and PK? Has there been any?
Yes, there have been some studies, and I'm not up on them well enough to tell you whether trying to influence the way an animal would move or in a cage or probably a little animal like a mouse or something trying to or a bug. I think somebody did with cockroaches trying to influence them to move one way or the other.
Those cockroaches are pretty intense. I don't want to get into those guys, but
so that may not be your subject of choice. there's a new book out. We just had a speaker here this last weekend. She's from California, actually. Oh, I should get her on your radio show. Her name is Dr. Pamela Heath, and she's down in the Bay Area. She has written a new book. It hadn't come out yet, called Mind-Matter Interaction. And she has become, I think she's probably one of the experts of all types of PK effect, from early miracles in the folklore to poltergeist into the laboratory. And she also has an awful lot to give in the way of advice about how to deal with things that might be bothering you in that way, if you were really being upset still by these physical things. It sounds like you've gotten past that, but if they were bothering you, there are some ideas about that. PK has not been studied well, and just there's currently a lot of interest in it, though, and I think you'll see more and more, and you'll hear more and more people talking about it now.
You know, one of the listeners in our chat room here that we have going on, she or he asked about have they hooked up any subjects to EEG machine, and if so, what results they get? And I guess they're asking, can you see this in the EEG or the EKG?
Well, I don't know. Let me see. I'm trying to get the PK and sort of if they've studied it. Certainly the EEG has been used a lot or some, and other forms of measuring. Now, that's brain waves. But the whole body systems, various aspects of the nervous system, have been studied a lot. But it's more like in ESP. Like there's a lot of interesting work being done, actually, again in California, up at a place called IONS, up in Petaluma, where Dean Radin has been using. I don't know if he's used the EEG, but he might have. He's used a measurement of other galvanic skin response and the eye blink. For their body to register an effect before the stimulus occurs, a negative stimulus, like if you make a loud noise or you show an emotional picture, your body will change a little bit. You don't realize it, but your body will jump a little and your heart rate will pick up. Well, the body does that before it sees the emotional picture.
That makes sense. And I have heard of him out here in California.
He and others, in fact, Dean Radin has summarized some of the EEG work in a wonderful book called Entangled Minds. And there's been more and more work done with the EEG, but I can't summarize it in a quick sentence except to say that there are different aspects that they're learning maybe certain areas of the brain which the ESP or not so much PK yet, but when these areas can be shown to affect. Now, actually, since I said that, I'm thinking that we have that we will show baby heart rate could be also be affected before things. It might register at the same time that something like a PK effect was happening.
Well, but, yeah, you know, in fact, with that woman from Russia, she would, you know, her blood pressure. In fact, that happened to me.
They did, in fact, that's right. They did do a blood pressure and things on her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she, and how much, mm-hmm. How exhausted she was, and her blood pressure would go up, and her pulse and rate would go up to 200.
It's very,
in fact,
it's very draining, but then a lot of the psychics, you know, psychics themselves, I imagine that Steve right there will tell you that he has to take care of his body if he's going to be giving a reading. He has to, you know, it's a very emotional kind of a work to do when you're helping people and you're making readings. You have to take care of your own body, even if you're a channel for something else coming through you.
But, you know, so interestingly enough, your parent, you know, I wanted to bring, I read something about the guy that did that 2006 book, the original from that they took the movie from, The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, oh, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your parents, that minister called on your parents. This was in, I don't know if anybody knows the story behind this. It was 1949, I believe,
yeah,
which was the original, what was it, the town? It was St. Louis.
I can't remember. I know I was around somewhere, and I remember he did meet the priest and the people involved in that study, and I can't tell you too much. We tended not to, the Duke Lab tended not to go out and do very many field investigations, and now we don't do any. Not because we don't think they're important, but because it takes a lot of staff and a lot of even equipment, but a lot of time and energy. It's very difficult to study things in the field where you can't control any of the variables. And I'm not much help on that. The book that was mentioned is called Unbelievable. That describes the episode, and that was a on your website, too.
Right.
Describes the book that was written about the early Duke days, the lab days, and it does describe that case better than I can do it now.
I'm sure, because, you know, you mentioned something about poltergeists, because there's so much PK with the poltergeist situation. That's what I thought was going off me. There were people that, you know, were residue leftovers.
We hear bad things. I mean, poltergeists are just ordinary people, but who at some time in their life, and oftentimes it is when they're young and going through adolescence, seem to have a lot of this spontaneous PK. We got interested in collecting these stories ourselves because we thought it's not just a few, one or two adolescents here and there. It's a lot. If it happens to one person somewhere, it's going to happen to somebody else. Maybe not enough that they're going to involve an investigating team or going to call the police or anything, but it's going to happen other places, and we think that there's a lot more little poltergeist type of things happening when people are unhappy or disturbed or whatever, that things fly off the sink, you know, or at time of death or crisis when there's a lot of emotion involved.
I want to ask you, Dr. Feather, because when I was a kid, I had a lot of issues with poltergeist activity, but now as an adult, I don't.
Okay.
Do you happen to know why it occurs more with children or teenagers?
Well, the theory is, and this has come from other people, is that it's a time of when your emotions are, clearly your emotions are coming out, and maybe they are sort of repressed in a way, too, or, you know, or like, say, if it's somebody who hasn't figured out what the best way of being angry when everybody gets angry, but this may be an unconscious way of dealing with stress when there isn't another way that maybe is more effective, or it's just some people would show this way rather than another little boy might just throw a book at his brother when he's mad at him or his parents, but that it's some sort of repressed emotion that's finding some outlet in a way which isn't at all what it's harmful to the person who has the experience more than it is to other people. Sometimes people actually, you know, get hurt themselves because something falls and that they knocked over or that they didn't mean to knock over. But we think that poltergeist, again, it's probably just it goes on more often than we know.
We're just going to take a fast commercial break, Dr. Feather, but hold on with us, and Steve, too. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when we come back, we're going to take a short break from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Dr. Feather, Sally Feather. And Steve, did you want to elaborate? Would you like to, you know, I think that's a great question you had about that. Because I was a child that always had that going on since I was 5, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And things would fly out of the bookshelf, or little animals would fly.
Yeah, but you read my mind to ask, mentioning that, Maureen, because when I was a child, I mean, spirit used to manifest in the corner, right-hand corner of my bedroom. They would just drop down from the ceiling, and I would have people standing there and talking. And as a teenager, we had lots of problems with poltergeist activity. And I don't have that now. I know when my emotions are running high, then I'm more open to, you know, my energy is more open. But it's just fascinating.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does it seem to you that sometimes the force or the energy is coming from inside you, or from outside you? Or are they two different feelings, or do they seem like two separate things, or is it? Can you get any feeling at all about where the energy is coming from?
It's difficult to say. I would say both. And there is a certain part of my house where you can feel the energy changes. People will sometimes walk into that part of my house and feel dizzy. The energy is very high, and I sometimes meditate in that part of the house, or in that corner where you can feel the energy. You can feel it change physically with your hands. So outside, but that said, I am a very energetic person, and I do, as you said before, I have to be careful working as a medium and as a psychic. I have to be careful that I do get my rest, that I slow down at times, because I have a lot of energy internally as well. So both, I would say. And I don't really understand. I mean, I do my work, but I don't really understand how it works, in all honesty.
No, that's fascinating. Yeah, we have a scientist here who is looking at the bioenergy characteristics of certain selected, well, let's say two or three healers might be in the room, and he has a light a room where all the all the lights have been separated, so it's a totally dark room with no access to energy. And inside this little room, where it can be measured, the charge accumulation, so to speak, can be measured. He has, with certain selected psychics or mediums, has found or healers has found that they can project certain, you know, the energy is that you're feeling is actually visible. It can be measured. Now, many people feel energy, but it's so small that it's not making a significant amount. But some have a significant amount that can be measured. So that's one thing we're looking at here, too.
Well, that's you know, also earthquakes. I mean, I'm very, for I don't know if this even falls into the PK, but sensitive to the environment. I became very sensitive. Again, I'm not an earthquake predictor, but it became to the point where I could feel them, not like minutes like the dogs, but weeks before, and my body would become a mess. In fact, to this day, that still happens to me. And lo and behold, within 2 weeks, an earthquake will come. I live in California. I know there's a lot of earthquakes, but I would get, this started in the 80s, but I could also hear them before they got close to, like if it was coming from L.A., the North Ridge, I could hear it when I was 2 hours or an hour and a half away, and I would be with someone, I go, can't you hear that noise? And what noise? And then, boom, an earthquake.
Well, you're both talking about something that my colleague Christine Simmons Moore is picking up in her studies, the various studies, that there are people that she would call them thin boundaries. People that are more sensitive to lots of stimulation, not just what we're talking about now, but maybe sounds and sights whereas some people, you know, people sort of left brain and nothing disturbs them, you know, and and this is kind of like the opposite, that you have to put up barriers to protect yourself from overstimulation. And we're thinking that the latter category fits in the high scores and the ESP and the PK, and that what we're talking about is a certain kind of people, and people who are more apt to become psychics and mediums, and who better to talk to but your group right there. You sound like highly sensitive people in this way.
Yeah, well, it's interesting as well. I'm British, but I live in Tennessee, and when I moved here, I was just fascinated by the extreme weather systems. And I live next to the Smoky Mountains, but when there's a bad storm approaching, I feel a huge amount of physical pain, and when it gets very close, sometimes I can't. My knees are so weak, and my legs hurt so much.
You really sound like an electromagnetic personality type of kind of that I've heard described, and there's even a book, a British book, on that topic. It's not very common to hear about it, but I think your own system may be particularly fine-tuned for picking up lots of things, and so you are a medium, it seems like. I think the two are connected in some way.
Okay.
Dr. Feather, I'd like to ask you if there's... I'm getting ready to, come to the end of our interview, unfortunately.
Yes.
But I'd like to know if you'd like to talk about anything at the Ryan Center or anything that you would like to,
Thank you for allowing me to do that. I would like for your viewers who are at all interested in this topic at all, and they wouldn't be listening otherwise, would they, to take a look at our website. We have so much material on it, and lots of videos and things they can download for people who live far away or locally if they can come to visit. We have programs twice a month at least. We have a support group for psychic people who want to just talk and share. Remote viewing is another big thing here. Many, many topics connected with the paranormal, but look at Rhine, www.rhine.org, and Rhine is spelled like the river, R-H-I-N-E, Rhine.org. And if you have some stories that you want to report to go into our collection, you can mail me at sally@rhine.org. And I will reply to your case that you send us. We have a case every month, a new one. I'll post it on our website. We're just trying to let the public know that this is natural and normal. And we also listen to people who are psychics and mediums and have programs. We have one coming up next month with a local psychic on psychometry readings. So we have a wide range from science to practice, and we try to bridge the gap and learn from both sides.
Yeah, I just love the center, and I just adore the fact that your parents are who they were, and I adore the fact that you've done so much. I mean, you have so much background with everything that you from a child. I also want to tell everybody that you're on the guest page. Your contact information, what you just gave out, is also available to everybody. And I suggest you check out the Ryan research, www.ryan.org. Because it's a lot of great information. It talks about the people there that, the different, doctors and professors and everybody that offers a wide range of very interesting individuals. And I'm on that site quite a bit myself.
Good.
And, yeah. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Dr. Rhinefeather, Sally Rhinefeather. And I will be talking to you again soon, I hope. And I'm going to send in my information to you. And maybe Steve might too, huh, Steve?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to talking to you again, maybe having you on again too.
Great. Okay, dear. Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And again, everybody, I'd like you to know that you can, Dr. Feather, contact her on information on workshops, research, and much more. Visit the Ryan Research Center at http://www.rhine.org. And you can find Dr. Sally Ryan Feather's contact information on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com as well. So that was great. Do we need to take... Okay. Anyway, so I think that was lovely, everybody, wasn't it? I also...
Yeah.
would like to add, I would like to also be sure to visit us at psychicbloggers.com. And the psychic blog, I'm sorry, also be sure to visit us at psychicbloggers.com site for anything psychic you would like to learn about. Learn about anything from reincarnation to how-tos of psychic development. So if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you find the best verified and accurately tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And I truly mean that, okay? So all of us, all the co-hosts here on psychicaccess.radio.com work at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit us at http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. I'll give that out again later. We have Talk Show working just cool. We have our lives working good. So you might want to listen up. I'll be bringing up that number again, but the number is 724-444-4851. So, everybody, hi. We all here?
Hi. Oh,
there you are. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
There's Rita. Hi, Rita. There's
Steve. What's going on?
What a great show.
Chat room.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it, and I kept it a little bit different, but she's great, and I don't know if I'm not in the chat room, and everybody, I'm saying hi to them now, because I haven't been able to say hi to, so hi, but I think that, for anything to do with PK or anything of the telepathy, clairvoyance, she's a gal in the Ryan Research Center, it's too. So, I'd like to ask Steve. Woohoo, Steve, you're it. Which is, what do you think? I wanted to ask you. I know you and I are closely, we can identify with some of the PK things that are going on. So, anyway, what is the best example of telekinesis, which is another word, everybody, for psychokinesis, that you have discovered, Steve?
Well, I've tried to read a lot about psychokinesis, and I've had experiences myself. As I said before, many of us have, and it's funny because the example I was going to give was the same one that we talked about earlier on, and that was Nina Kulagina in the Soviet Union. So she did work with the secret services, the KGB, and they did a lot of research to look at the potential military application of telekinesis. And there's been a lot of research in different countries, but there was the video clip that is on the Psychic Access Talk Radio site for this show is a clip that was apparently leaked from the Soviet Union during the Cold War, and it shows her demonstrating. So she actually applied her energy to move matches, as we said before, to move objects on a table, and she did the same with a frog, and the frog's heart actually stopped beating, and very interestingly, there was another scientist who wanted to debunk her, and he was invited to come and join an experiment where she was applying her energy to him, and he started to have problems with his heart, and they had to stop the experiment. But there are also experiments in the Soviet Union with electromagnetic weapons. I think at one point the most members of the American the U.S. Embassy in Moscow started to have problems with illnesses and problems with concentration, etc. And it turned out that the Soviets were actually using some kind of electromagnetic energy and firing it at the U.S. Embassy during the Cold War. But there are many other examples, but that's one that I find absolutely. These are examples that I find are just fascinating.
Yeah, she's that woman in Russia was one heck of a fascinating cookie. She was another one that I found in the 80s when stuff was going on with me, and I had a heart condition. I got to 90 pounds. I was so sick, and my heart was, I had a heart monitor, it was racing to 200, and interesting. But she's something else. And also, I wanted to ask, Rita brought up, she was, and Rita did talk about her as well, but Rita, I'll take it, this to the next phase.
Sure.
Levitation.
What does
psychokinesis, what does psychokinesis encompass?
Well, I was looking it up because the word psychokinesis tends to be used interchangeably with telekinesis. So what I did is I wanted to get, a real clear understanding of what psychokinesis really was. And what I found is that includes causing an object to move, to shake, to vibrate, spin, break, or to create heat or cold in an object by speeding up or slowing down the atoms in the object. And it also includes, which I thought was very interesting, teleportation, which is when, how you see on Star Trek, they teleport off the ship onto another ship?
Beam me up, guy.
That is an ability. And you can transport objects that way and so forth. Healing tissue is another form of psychokinesis. The transmutation of matter, controlling magnetism, and controlling particles of light and shape-shifting. So I thought it was really interesting I didn't realize all that was part of what psychokinesis encompassed.
I always like that one because it does talk about shape-shifting, and I thought, and there's another, that's from that show they have on TV, never mind. Shapeshifter. Uh-huh. It's not a repository. Telekinesis, I think it was another, it's almost like the bipolar and manic depressive. The manic depressive they use interchangeably. The newer way of saying it was bipolar later. But they're pretty much one and the same. But I think it all kind of fuses all together for remote viewing, too. It's interesting how I think remote viewing, I didn't talk about this, but kind of fuses, PK and remote viewing kind of go together in some ways, I think. But Rita,
yes.
I wanted you to go, talk about some of the people that have demonstrated remarkable PK that have been noted. I know I've done this, and Steve has. We're not on the internet yet for some reason, but you had some. And besides, I know we've been talking about Nina a little bit, but there's a couple others, which I know one of them personally you're going to talk about.
It's funny. As soon as I heard the topic, the first thing I thought of was that movie Carrie. Remember Carrie?
Oh, yeah.
She was able to blow things up, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But after doing some research, I did find that there are actual real people who, have demonstrated these abilities under strict test conditions. And one of them is this woman named Stanisława Tomczak, who was born in Poland. And she came to the attention of investigators when it was reported that she could, she had like poltergeist activity around her spontaneously all the time. And she could control some of these telekinetic feats, but only under hypnosis. And when she was in a hypnotic state, she took on a personality that called itself Little Stasia, who could levitate small objects that were placed in her hands. And then in the early 1900s, one investigator watched these levitations at a very close range and observed something like fine threads emanating from her palms and fingers. Although, she was examined before the experiment, and it didn't seem to be a trick. But they noticed that when she separated her hands, the thread got thinner and thinner and then would disappear. It was sort of like the same thing as a spider's web. And if it was cut with scissors, it continued, put itself back together again. It restored itself.
I remember her.
I just thought that was wild, you know?
She had gold, kind of gold something. She used to pull her gold out of herself, too. It was like gold foily something.
Like to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I know what you're talking about. It was trippy.
Is that her energy coming out of her hands?
I don't know much about that whole situation, but I do know there was a lot of stuff on her, and I remember there was some gold foil, and they couldn't figure. They didn't debunk her. They didn't say. They just didn't have an explanation for it. She was a housewife, right? Wasn't she a housewife?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little house.
I remember.
That was remarkable. She unbelievable. I forgot about her.
Right, and then of course there's Uri Geller, who's the most popular.
Yeah.
Well-known.
Yeah, I used to know him very well in the 80s and 90s.
Well, yeah.
But talk about him. Okay, I don't know if people not know him.
He's one of the most well-known psychics, and he actually demonstrated these feats of PK. And when people think of spoon bending, they think of Uri Geller.
Yeah,
but, he had shown that he could manifest effects over great distances and in multiple locations. And one time on a British radio show in 1973, after demonstrating key bending to the host, Geller invited the audience to participate. And minutes later, phone calls started pouring into the radio station from listeners all over the UK reporting that knives, forks, spoons, keys, and nails began to bend and twist spontaneously. Watches and clocks that had not run in years began to work. And it even surprised Geller himself. So, you know, there's something to this, and I think that it warrants research, and I'm so glad that Dr. Feather and her team are really digging into this further.
Well, you know, as her parents, thank goodness, they've been doing, you know, they came into this in the 30s, and it's something that not very many people would take on. But you know, Uri Geller, because I know him, and I also think about Criss Angel, you guys, because Criss Angel, but he's an excellent, you know, magician. He's excellent magician, but he does levitation, he does stuff, but he never proclaims that he's anything other than a magician. Now, there's stuff, but Uri Geller made a name for himself, you're right, with the spoon bending. Now, he's kind of like dropped off a little bit of the face of the earth for a while, but there is something to that. I mean, I think we all have the ability if our minds can handle it. I mean, Steve, what do you believe? Do you believe that we are all able to physically influence objects with our mind?
I believe that we can. I think particularly collectively. So when you mentioned Uri Geller appearing on radio in the UK, you know, if he was actually practicing telekinesis, psychokinesis, and people were listening and paying attention, then I think collectively the energy would be much stronger. So I think that absolutely we can. You know, it's a little bit like the, you know, we talk about the law of attraction and actually creating what we want to create in the future, and the fact that the mind and the spirit can actually create the future, so bringing about opportunities or circumstances, etc. I think it's similar to that. But I was really interested a while ago to read that a group of very experienced meditators were all asked to meditate and focus upon peace. I think it was in Washington, D.C., and there was a substantial drop in reported violence or recorded violence in Washington, D.C. while they were running those experiments. So I know that it's different to using the mind to actually make an object move. But if you think of it, that group of people was actually able to collectively reduce physical acts of violence. So I think that it's very rare for a person to be able to perform psychokinesis like Uri Geller or the lady in Poland, Nina Kulagina. But I think that collectively we can do enormous things. And, you know, as we said in I think it was the show last week or the week before, we were talking about the stock market being an entity and the fact that we collectively do actually control some of the things that we think are completely separate entities from ourselves.
Right.
That's so cool, isn't it? That whole concept. I mean, this is how change is going to happen. This is how peace can come to the earth. This is how I think we're going to evolve, you know, into just a whole new world. It's here. We're able to do it. I believe that.
Yeah.
We have the power.
Yeah, and we are collective. We all come in this world, like I said, with a psychic inheritance. All of us were born into it.
We're starting to learn about it all. You know what I mean? A lot of people are surprised, or they'll ask, they'll say, I don't think I can do this or that. It's really about understanding that. To me, it has to do with expanding the use of our brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know how they say we only use a small percentage of our entire brain. As we develop these abilities, I believe it'll show that we're using more of our brain. It'll reflect in the amount of brain power we're using. It's like a huge computer.
Well, I think people will be using their brain if they start listening to us more.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that. Well, yes, I do. But, you know, I think it is really true about our, and she was talking about, you know, Dr. Feather was talking about healing.
Yes.
And I think even that, I mean, it's not just a little, okay, let me do move some things. I mean, I think our brains, like my daughter is in the neuroscience at UCSD. And I think I've told you guys about this before, but so she's studying the brain and how much we don't use. And she had it in her hand, a brain. I just trips me out. Picture of her holding a brain. And, I think that is a good point, because by Dr. Feather was talking about healing. Our healing, you know, healing has to do PK as well. Making things happen, movements or healing within the body, or what she's saying, Steve, I forget the name that she mentioned within, you know, me and you might have some of those, whatever it's called. Hopefully you'll remember, but, or you'll just let everybody listen to archives and we'll find out. But she, that's what I wanted to go over there with you, Steve, about, can you tell us maybe a little bit about the Global Consciousness Project? Because that might be something up to what we're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, it's along the, absolutely along those lines. I mean, the Global Consciousness Project belongs to Princeton, and it's also called the EGG Project, but it's an international collaboration of scientists, engineers, and artists, and many other people, and they collect data continuously from a global network of number generators. I think they've got 65 host sites around the world. So that their archives contain 10 years of random data, and it's all synchronized. And in effect, the data is able to show changes in consciousness, or in collective consciousness. And apparently the data shows that there was a huge shift in global consciousness at the time of the terrible occurrences in New York. You know, on 9/11, and also apparently when Princess Diana was killed in her car accident in Paris. Again, the data shows that there was a huge jump in the chart, and that's a reflection of our global consciousness and our shock at events that are occurring. So it's just a fascinating project. They have a great website as well, and you know, that for me, that's proof positive that we are all, our energy is combined. And you know, I believe, as well as we were saying in a show a week or so ago, that our energy affects the planet, the universe. It's just incredible. And as Rita said, this means that we can create huge, we can create huge change collectively. We can do huge things, and this is a really exciting time. And I'm fascinated to learn about the Rhine Institute as well, because I think that we're really now bordering on 2012 at a time where there's going to be a huge boom in interest in all of these things, and an awareness that we can actually together create enormous change and make the world a better place and make the universe a better place.
Absolutely. Yes.
I agree. It was time for a commercial break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
And welcome back. And here we're talking about this and that. And with my co-host on psychokinesis. And Steve, I appreciate that insight that you gave us about the global... I had never heard about the Global Consciousness Project. Thank you. And that's in Princeton, New Jersey, right, you said?
Absolutely. Princeton.edu is the website. I think it's noosphere.princeton.edu. But it's just incredible.
I was just told, everybody, that we have just, unfortunately, lost access to our phones again. So that means that we'll be taking questions in our chat room. Sorry to say, but oh well, we can handle that. Hi, everybody.
Yes, we can. We are used to that.
Yeah. You know, Allura, I wanted to ask you, you had something interesting about, and maybe Rita might have something to say something about that, but about exercises. You were talking about some exercises. I want to go to that. That you can work, can do to work and develop. You had two of them? Just two of them that you could help.
I had two exercises because, first of all, you're dealing with a form of energy when you're developing this sort of ability. And everything in the universe is composed of energy, just like Steve was talking about. So the next thing to realize is energy never dies. It can and does change form, so it transmutes. And energy can move other energy. So based on these assumptions, thought waves, which are a form of energy, can also move other types of energy. So you have to really do this based on these assumptions. And to learn to develop psychokinesis abilities, it's important to practice. Don't get frustrated with yourself. Start with small things and start slowly to increase your ability. The next thing you have to understand is it's imperative to build your ability to concentrate. So you can't really manipulate energy if you can't concentrate. And a lot of people think they can, but in order to move an object, you have to be able to concentrate. So practice regularly to concentrate until you can hold a single thought for a minimum of 5 minutes. So two exercises you can do to develop your PK abilities is, number one, there's a concentration exercise, and then number two, there's a psychokinesis exercise. So first work on the concentration exercise, and it goes like this. For this, all you need is a small piece of colored paper that is a different color than the walls of the room you'll be working in. Okay, so you can use a post-it note or some small piece of paper to tape to a wall. And the shape of the paper doesn't really matter. Determine where you're going to sit and stick the paper to the wall across the room from where you are at about eye level. So you don't want it too high or too low or your neck would get stiff. So stick it on the wall at about eye level. Focus your concentration on the paper. Allow all other thoughts to just float away from your mind. You want to concentrate without words. Okay, again, you want to concentrate without words. Don't think about the fact it's a piece of paper. Don't think about its color. Just keep your concentration on it without any thoughts or words coming to mind. That's easier said than done, but you'll eventually get into a relaxed mode, and you'll find it happening. You'll catch anything that starts to come into your thoughts. Set a goal about 3 minutes to start, and only when you get to that point where you can spend a full 3 minutes without your concentration drifting off onto anything else, then stretch that to 4 or 5 minutes and then more if you like. So that's the concentration exercise. The psychokinesis exercise is one where you use a pendulum. And what you do with that exercise is you allow your mind to become one with the pendulum. Remember we talked about how everything's energy and thought form is energy. So you become one with that energy that makes up the pendulum. So allow your mind to become one with the pendulum. Use the visualization abilities of your mind to connect your personal energy with the cells of the pendulum and cause the pendulum to move. Your job is to figure out what works best for you to help you move the pendulum. Some people find that things work best for them when they think of it in terms of energy. Others do it best by using visualization. Others might find that sheer force of will is what works for them. So, you know, find out what works best for you. Choose one way to try it and work with that for a while. If that does not work after several days, switch to another. You don't want to switch back and forth too much because it usually takes a number of attempts, no matter which way you choose, and most people can eventually do it one way or the other after they've exercised their brain power enough. So just know that. But anyway, so it's fairly simple. Just connect, you know, you can use visualization or these other methods to connect your personal energy with the cells of the pendulum and cause the pendulum to move, and that's what you do.
That is really cool. I think that's cool. So were you doing that when you were talking about it?
You know, that's something, and those two exercises spoke to me personally because I could feel myself naturally inclined to do that. I haven't actually sat down and done the PK exercise, but I feel like that would be the easiest one for me to do, to where I can become one with the pendulum. And because for me, my brain doesn't have a block about seeing the cells of that make up the pendulum and connecting my personal energy with it because it's all energy. And so I feel like that would be one I could probably do and do fairly well. Now, I don't know how long it would take for me to actually move the pendulum, but the thought process seems easy for me to understand. And that's how I picked those two out.
Yeah, I appreciate those. Steve? Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how did you know I wanted to speak?
Because I'm a psychic.
I was just about to speak. And, well, it's fascinating that Laura was talking about pendulums because I was talking with a friend about dowsing the other day because my friend has some land and she wants to know if there's oil. And I said, well, do some dowsing and you'll feel that, you know, the dowsing rods will show the energy change. But I often use a pendulum if I want a yes or if I want to check on a yes or no answer from spirit. So I'll hold the pendulum on the chain and ask spirit to move it clockwise if it's a yes and anti-clockwise if it's a no. And it works every time. Have you guys tried that?
Yes, I have. It is. Now, I don't know that I'm a good pendulum person, but I've done dowsing and the rods definitely move easily. You know what I mean? You can feel the energy pulling them apart. So I know what you're saying, and I have tried the yes or no question, but I feel like maybe if I'm too connected emotionally with the question, I influence it too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can see as well, Laura, the extent to which the pendulum actually moves, so how far it actually swings from the hand. So you in effect hold it with the right hand, and I hold my left hand underneath it, but not touching, you know, almost half a foot below. And you can get a yes answer that's quite weak, or you can get a very strong answer because the pendulum swings really widely. And I know that you know these things, but I just find that absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that is
cool. Yeah, you can actually say, you know, is my name Steve? And watch it swing, and it'll say yes. And then you can say, well, is my name Rupert? And it'll start shifting, swinging anti-clockwise. You can test it, and it's just amazing.
Oh, maybe I need to do that.
Say, is my name Nadine? I like that one, Nadine. And knowing that my name really is Nadine, and it said, no, I'm joking.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. No, Steve, I wasn't making that into silliness, but I think that is cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah,
it
is.
It's a good tool.
Yeah, it's a great tool. And, like, well, we spoke about some other tools that are scary tools, but that's the same thing that I look at in that one that we were talking about I'm going to be doing in the weeks to come. But Yeah, and you could be really objective with it if you really don't know, well, someone's real name. I mean, God-given name, I guess, too. I wanted to tell everybody, and thank you for that, you guys, my pals.
You're welcome.
My
co-host
and pal. I wanted to tell everybody that we've come to the part of our show where we will begin taking your questions from the chat room, unfortunately, because the system is on its holiday. And so since you're asking, and we do have some questions I know from some of you already, thank you very much, and Rita's been keeping track of those. And okay, now I'm told also that we are going to get to the questions in chat, I think, is first. The talk show is back, but I know we have a call from Maryland. Well, this is the time of the show where I am going to be leaving for the night, and the reason is, everybody, is because my father is in the hospital, so I'm going to get over there and take care of business with my family. So I am going to be leaving the rest of the show and readings up to my wonderful supportive co-host and Doug, and know that they'll do the job for the end. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. So, Maureen. Best of luck to your dad.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
we'll
also
be thinking of you all, Maureen, sending you lots of love. It was a fantastic show.
Thanks. I can hear the feedback really later if you want. Thank you. I really appreciate you all being part of my show, and it was lovely. And the call-in number, I will give it out, is 724-444-4851. And the chat room people will get also their questions as well answered by these three wonderful, intuitive individuals. Okay.
Amazing individuals.
Amazing individuals. So have fun, you guys, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Maureen. Have a good night.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care, Maureen.
Thanks. Good luck.
Okay, so I was in the chat room, and I was picking out people, trying to keep them in order. And Steve and Allura, are you guys ready?
Absolutely.
I'm ready.
All right, the first question we have is in our Psychic Access chat area, if you want to look there. And the question is from Hepburn. Hepburn says, I have a question, if possible. I've just had an experience between two men that mirror each other in many aspects. I definitely walk away from the one. Should I also from the other? And Hepburn was on the Psychic Access side of the chat room.
Well, I know Hepburn, actually. I was speaking with Hepburn yesterday. Absolutely fascinating lady. So I'm going to let you guys see what you guys get, because I was talking with Hepburn about this yesterday, and I'd be interested to see what you guys feel.
Okay, all right, give me a second. And Allura, just jump in if you got something.
I will. I'm just tuning in. Hang on. My sense is that, here's my sense. I feel like there's a possibility here with this person, but I'm getting more that you have an apprehensiveness about all of this, and that may be what may be getting in the way. I feel like, I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for, what type of relationship. So if I could be speaking to you, that would be my first question. Are you looking for fun? Are you looking for just to take it a day at a time? Are you looking for a full-time commitment kind of thing? So if it's a, I'm going to assume you're looking for a commitment, but if that's the case, I'm just not seeing that it's being worked on in that way, so maybe you're not. But if there's an apprehensiveness about it, I feel like you're somewhat apprehensive, and I would go inside to do some soul searching on it for yourself. I feel like you need to get more clear about what you want.
I kind of got the same thing too, Allura. I immediately got a sense of like that feeling that you get, the flush feeling up in your face when you're kind of like nervous and you begin to blush. So it's that feeling of almost, it is like an apprehension. That would be the word that I would use. And I think it's because the two mirror one another in so many ways that there is a fear that the reasons that you're walking away from the one are the same reasons you think are going to be there to walk away from the second as well. So I think also, like Alara said, it's a matter of you really getting to the bottom of this and saying, what is it that you're walking away from? And what is it that you're trying to attract to yourself? Because this apprehension is like a shield you're putting up. So you don't you don't want to be bringing in a person like the one you just discarded. And if that person is just like the one you discarded, your body's saying no to this. Your mind may be saying yes, but your body's saying no. And usually the body's right. Well, always the body's right. So you have to listen to that flush. The flush is coming up in my face like an embarrassment almost. Like, just don't go there with this person. So I'm getting a sense of just back off until you figure out what it is that you want or what you're afraid of. I hope that makes sense. Okay, let's see. The second question was from... Question two, the name came up as VHZ, so I don't know what your real name is. But the question for this person, should we ask the person what their name is? Because I sometimes need a name to connect. VHZ is kind of weird. And this person says, I'd love anything you get on my love life.
The name Kenny? Does help, Rita. And also, just Heparin was Kathleen, and she was just saying in the chat room that what you guys said makes sense, so that's good.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay,
well,
good.
I'm chatting back out to VHZ, what's your name, just so we can get...
There we go, Victoria.
Okay, actually, after Victoria, we do have calls coming in, and so we'll start with Marilyn once we're done with Victoria, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, Victoria, okay. Let me see.
What's Victoria's question?
She put, I love anything you can get on my love life. So, of course, we like it a little bit more specific than that. If you're listening, Victoria, if you can get real specific, it's better. But let's see what we get.
Because if it's really general, if it takes, we could get a 1,000 hours of information, whereas if you have so many people who it's better if you're more focused with your question.
If there's anything, okay. Victoria, I'm kind of waiting for her to respond to something specific.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up with, often if I get a very general question, I'll get a very general answer.
Oh, here you go. She says, well, there is a guy. Will he stick around? Okay.
It's interesting because the feeling I got I couldn't sense whether Victoria was in a relationship or not. And when that happens to me in a reading, spirit always say to me, well, that person is in a relationship but isn't. So there's 1 foot in it, 1 foot out of it. And my guides say that in Victoria's case, that the guy that she's with is a good guy, but she doesn't feel... confident that this is the relationship of her lifetime, so I feel inclined to say that he will stick around. She's a great girl, and why wouldn't he stick around? But I think that he probably senses some level of not apathy, but of some level of question about whether or not this really is the lifelong relationship, which I don't feel as though it is. I feel as though it's a good relationship for now, but I don't feel it's the long-term relationship. My guides talk about April, May as the time when the right relationship will come around, but there should also be work changes around Victoria as well. She should be considering a change in career, and my guides talk specifically about healing and alternative medicine for her.
Yeah, I got a no. The first thing that popped up for her with this question was, will he stick around? And it was right what you said, Steve. It was more or less like her, kind of her choosing. Like, will he stick around or not is really kind of up to the vibe that she sends out to him, which right now...
Absolutely.
It's not...
Right, I get the same thing, and it's really going to depend on how much she wants to work on this.
Right.
She can expand it if she wants. Otherwise, it won't. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Well, who's next? We had another person, I think, that I said was third before we got the phones back on. Let's see.
Well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take the callers first because they've been waiting since 9 o'clock.
All right.
So the first one is from Maryland. Hello? Our first caller is from Maryland. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, this is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You have a question for us?
Actually, you answered it earlier. I had read with Steve, and then you all confirmed that you were saying that I need to listen to my body and feeling flushed as far as the two men mirroring their experience.
Okay.
With
okay,
me.
Good.
And I guess that my mind stays strong and true to what I think I want to see and what I want to have happen. So it's kind of like even when I hear it, the answer, I don't hear it. Does that make sense?
Even when you hear what?
Like if Steve gives me a reading and he says that, you know, listen to your gut and see what this guy has to offer, or, you know, this really is your learning experience. Maybe that's just all it is.
Well, here's what I'm sorry,
not
I get
what
your
I want to hear.
Yes, here's what I want to say. You may not hear your guides. You may get the information in a different way. So I'm going to give you this information. I'm going to let you take this home with you, and we'll get on to the next caller as well, okay? But here's what would be a good exercise for you, Kathleen. At night when you're in bed and you're kind of relaxing and you don't have to worry about anything else, think about this situation or this person, okay, this man that you're talking about.
Yes.
And ask yourself how you feel, not what you think, but how you feel about moving forward with, and then name him, okay, with whoever, whatever his name is. And then allow your body to tell you what you feel. You'll feel sensations, like it might be in the solar plexus, it might be a good sensation, it might be a bad one, it might be in the heart area, but you will feel. And when you do that, is a very important way of getting your guidance or your answer. Like Rita said, the body doesn't lie.
Okay, that's great. And then also, will you all be available for readings after this?
After the show, I may not be available till later myself or tomorrow because I have some other stuff to take care of. Steve and Rita, will you be available?
I think I'm going to go. I'm probably going to go on for at least 45 minutes after the show. Yeah.
Yeah, I normally will be on after the show because I'm increasing my hours a lot, but not this evening, I'm afraid, because I've got a bad chest and not feeling well. So I'll be getting to bed after the show. But I will be on Psychic Access a lot next week. So Monday I'll be online, and I'll be doing many more hours each week from then on.
Hope you feel better.
Oh, thank you,
Kathleen.
I appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you all. You too.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you so much.
We have a caller from Indiana.
Hi.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be able to speak with y'all.
Same here.
My question is, I feel that there's this person that's come into my life that I'm meant to be with, but we live in different states, and we want to be together, and in order for us to be together, a lot has to happen. Like, either I have to sell my house and get rid of my dogs and change schools, or he has to change jobs. And it's kind of difficult to know what decision to make. So is there any guidance?
What is your name?
Excuse me? My name?
What is your name? Yes.
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. Okay, we're going to take a look at that for you. I'm going to tell you the very first thing that came up for me, I mean, just right automatically, I haven't really looked into it yet, but was, how badly do you want to be with this person? In other words, and I don't need you to tell me that. What I'm really saying is, logistics aren't really, I don't, of course it is an issue, and I don't know why I'm getting that it's not, but if you want to, this person has a place to live, correct?
Yes.
And so what would happen if you moved and left the house to a management, a property management company to take care of? I'm getting that if you really, really want to, you can.
I have three dogs that he couldn't have where he's at. He lives in an apartment. My house is paid for.
Okay.
So the other thing is, this is one of those things that I know I'm supposed to be in this relationship, but it's kind of sudden because my husband passed away a year and a half ago. And since then, I've had to let go of everything because my income dropped. Besides losing my husband, I lost just about everything. So basically, it's a matter of me really just giving up the rest of everything that I have.
Well, I'm not saying that you should. I guess the first question that comes to mind is, does he want the two of you to be in the same state, or do you both want to live together? Have you discussed that with him?
Yes, we want to be together.
Okay. I'm getting like this whole feeling of, I always work with angels, and they tell me that divine timing is in play here. And because of the losses that you've experienced, you're not caught up to the point yet where you will be cohabitating with this person. They say that even though you know you're meant to be with this person, he is waiting, and he will wait. He has a patience that is a little stronger, I think, than yours. I think you're more anxious to be with him together in a home situation. But because of the healing that's still happening within you, you're still healing from a lot of loss. They want you to know that this all will come about in divine timing, and not to put any pressure on yourself to rush this. Just allow yourselves to continue to go along as you have been, and know that you will be together when that healing has been completed. They want you to complete the cycle of healing that you're in, because if you continue to move too quickly, you're going to have a lot of, they show me like threads coming off of a string, where the string begins to become threadbare and then it snaps. So you don't want to fray your thread. You have to allow the movement of time to continue to work on you, heal you, move you, and prepare you. And then when that happens, you're going to find something's going to actually make this whole thing come together in a much easier way than what you're thinking about right now. But the challenges that you're thinking about in your mind about the dogs and the jobs, it's when the time is right, all of those things will have come to a head and to come to an answer for you.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that it's not quite ready yet or ripe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because my guides are saying similar things. My guides are saying for you, you know, the relationship is good, and they feel positive about it. It's a good connection, and you can feel great about that. My guides say you'll know when to make these big changes because everything will just flow for you. So they're saying that you'll make those changes when all the pieces of the puzzle just fit together. So when it just flows easily and all seems to just fit together perfectly, then that's an indication that it's the right time. So my guides say to wait a little longer. It feels like 4 or 5 months to me. They give me 4.5. So they're saying between 4 and 5 months. But that seems like a good time, and it's not a long time to wait. It's enough time to get excited and make preparations.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you tell me will I go to him, will he go to me, or will we both go a different direction completely and have our own home that's exclusive to us?
That's what I feel. I feel that you'll both move out of your existing homes and move in together into a okay. new home that you create together.
All right.
So
that's
kind of
what I was thinking was
going to
happen, and
you.
It's like I didn't know how it was going to happen, and I'm like,
thank you, Suzanne. Good luck with all of that. Best of luck
to you.
All
right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Love all of you.
Hello.
We have another caller from Maryland.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. This is Laura. What is your name?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling in, Michelle. You have a question for us?
It's Chardonnay. I was online as well, so AKA Michelle.
Oh, good. Hi, Michelle. Great. I know you are Chardonnay. Well, I don't know you, but I recognize Chardonnay. But it's Michelle. Thanks, Michelle. What question do you have for us?
Well, I feel like I've recently been awakened spiritually, and I was wondering where I'm going to go in the future as far as spiritually. And also, you know, love life. Of course, I'm interested in knowing about my love life like everybody else, too.
Okay. We're kind of limited on our time in terms of questions for every person. So let's see, depending on how long it takes to answer each question, we'll try and get in the love life, but if we can't, you can always save that for the next show, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so you want us to look into, what was your question about your spiritual development? Where is it going?
Right, I do feel like recently I've been awakened. A lot of strange but pleasant things have been happening as far as just kind of growing in that aspect and, you know, kind of waking up. And some of it can be kind of scary at times, and I just wanted to get some advice on how to, you know, handle this transformation period.
Okay. What is it that's scary for you? What is it you're experiencing that you feel is scary?
Well, I've been meditating and focusing and doing a lot of reading. And sometimes when I'm meditating, even though I'm trying to, like, reach my higher self, sometimes that kind of stuff can freak me out a little bit. And so I guess I want to learn how to, you know, not be scared or apprehensive about the things that I learn or hear.
Okay, sounds good. Well, that is definitely part of your growth process, is understanding that that's all perfectly natural. It's not, quote, supernatural, unquote. So, you know, that's the first thing I want to say that I get with you. It's just part of your growth process, and I think as you talk more and more with people like us and others, it's a norm for us. And because it's a norm, it could become, as you speak to us and when you hear us and the way we speak about it, you know, it'll help you to calm down more. You are going through changes. And just understand that it is sacred. And it will be important to make a decision within yourself. This is what I get. To accept that this is a sacred space. It's part of your growth, healing. It's your guides bringing you into this space. So no need to be afraid. Just, you know, surround yourself with the protection, the prayer that you use for protection always, and have, you know, and then let go and let God, so to speak, and understand it is a very natural process.
Yeah, Michelle, okay. I get, if I can just jump in real quick, I'm sorry
sure.
to interrupt. But,
no, okay.
I've got these two angels that are just, they keep popping up and popping up and popping up. It's Rebecca and James. And they're very excited. They're like, they're very excited about the leaps that you've made. And they understand the apprehension, but they say you don't need to be afraid because everybody feels what you're feeling. And even though it may feel like you're a little bit of a fish out of water right now, the more you go into this, the deeper you go, the more love you're going to feel in the connection to yourself. And they say you can ask them, Rebecca and James. And they look to me like Rebecca has, like, long brown hair. She's very young. James is also kind of a young, young, dark-haired, tall, slender. They're almost like two young people, like two 20-somethings that are just hanging around you, and they have a very good, strong, young energy. And that, to me, shows that you're kind of new to the game, so they're there to kind of initiate you into this communion with your higher self. So they're excited about it. They're very happy, and they want you to know you're always surrounded with love, with angels who can protect you and guide you. And if you just simply ask them for help along the way, they'll start to reveal more and more to you and allow you to relax and feel comfortable. And like Laura said, too, use protection. Imagine yourself in a bubble of light and love, the white light of the Holy Spirit that lets only good positive energy in. And when you can relax in that bubble of white light, and anything's, it's all beautiful. Nothing negative is going to come into you. So you can just open yourself and allow that golden wisdom to come in, and you'll see it change your life.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. Take care, Michelle.
Thank you.
Many blessings to you.
Sure. And we have somebody from Washington State. Hello? We have a caller from Washington State.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. May I ask your name, please?
Yes, my name is Andy.
Hi, Andy. Welcome.
Thank you. So, I'm just wondering, about a year ago, I used to have a really strong relationship between my father and I, and about a year ago is when we lost this bond. And lately, I've just been feeling in this rut that I'm beginning to think that that's the cause of my problems, and I feel like I choose to do different things because I'm in so much anger between him, and I can't talk to him like I used to. So I'm just wondering for help with that.
Okay. I haven't actually gone into the reading stuff, but my first response to you is that... you really can talk to him. He's in another dimension. If you recognize that he's not gone, he's just not in this space. He resides in, it's hard to explain, but he's in another dimension and can be in the same space. So you can actually do that. You can work out your relationship. And I just want to let you know that. Now, how best to do that, I'm going to look into it. But anyway, does anybody else have...
Is he here or has he crossed over?
No, he's here.
I see you, and your back is turned and his back is turned, they're showing me. So you both have your backs towards each other with arms crossed, so that it's showing that there is some tension. But the heartstrings, you know, the heartstrings on each of you are being tugged and tugged and tugged. So he's feeling the same thing you're feeling right now. And it's simply a matter of pride to turn back around and face one another with love. And this can happen, again, it's very simple. You simply have to remember that there's always love there that connects the two of you. And right now you're just facing away from each other. So it's as easy as turning around and just reconnecting with him. There is no... apology necessary, they say. You don't need to apologize, because as soon as you turn around and make the connection again, he's going to feel the love, you're going to feel the love, you're going to be back together. And you may need to talk out what happened, you may need to discuss it, but there really isn't any, I don't see any barriers to the two of you just turning around and reconnecting your heartstrings again. It's as simple as that. So they're saying just both of you have like a little bit of a stubborn streak and are standing offish from one another. If you can turn around and face each other, and you might be the, you know, if you're the first one, that's okay. If he does it, that's great. But one of you has to make that leap of faith and turn around.
Right. And could this be ruining the relationship I'm in because of the choices I'm making and feeling kind of held back from life just because of being so angry?
I don't think it's so much that. It's you're putting guilt on yourself to feel that way. The feeling you have is, you know, it's giving you this feeling that you're doing something wrong, but you're not doing anything wrong. You're simply reacting to an emotional trauma that happened that created this angst in the first place. So, you know, forgive yourself for all of that. You're not making, even if you think you're doing crazy, stupid things just to get back at him or something, just forgive yourself right now. Just forgive yourself right now. That's not necessary. You don't need to feel that anymore. It's okay that you went through it, but you can turn right around and reconnect with him. And you're going to be, everything's going to be great. I'm getting this really good feeling of reconciliation if you just forget all that and just turn around and go back. You don't have to apologize for explain.
Rita, I get the same actually. That. I feel that you need to make the be the one that initiates the reconciliation. You know, and it's almost, to be honest with you, my guides are saying that some of the similarities between you and your father are actually, you know, they would make, when you reconnect and you talk about some of the similarities, you'll hear laughter, because you'll, some of the similarities in character between the two of you are that's what stops you both from turning around and embracing the situation. There is, Mike, before you mentioned relationship, my guides were talking about a relationship, and they're saying there's part of the issue is disapproval about a relationship. Is your father in a relationship as well that you don't necessarily approve of?
Correct.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Yes, he is. He is in a relationship that he's lying to my family about.
Yeah, because my guides are talking about put relationships and saying big part of the problem is his relationship and a relationship that you don't approve of. And you know, my guide's saying that your father's a good man, but he can be quite childlike at times. Actually, it's almost as though you have to be the parent on occasions. Does that make sense to you as well?
Yes, very much.
Hello.
I think we've lost.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of felt like they weren't in the same space. That's interesting.
Laura, you're right, because they're not. You've picked up on it absolutely that separation between them, that distance is like the distance that we feel when someone passes the spirit. So it's a separation, and so I think energetically you're spot on.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much, you two. I appreciate that. We do have another caller.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, hope it helps.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, we have another caller from Maryland, correct?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. What is your name?
Karen.
Pardon?
Karen.
Karen?
Yes.
Hi, Karen. What can we do for you? What questions do you have for us tonight?
I have a relationship question. I recently reconnected with a boyfriend from my past 2 years ago, and we're trying to get back together. The reason we broke up before was because of infidelity. Well, he went away 2 weeks ago on a retreat kind of thing, and I don't know if there was any infidelity at that time or not. My question is, do you feel anything as far as this relationship going forward with this person? You know, like, do you see if he's trustworthy now? I know they always say a leopard never changes his spots.
Mm-hmm. Right. So are you asking if this will move forward or if he's trustworthy? Are you looking to see if this will move forward? This relationship?
I want to see if it's going to move forward, yes. Do you see me, like, having a long-term relationship with this person?
I see you as having a relationship with him for a number of years, but I see it as something that's going to give you a run for your money, so to speak. Like, I do see that it isn't going to be the easiest thing, because I think you have a very deep affection for him, and you are willing to forgive, and so this feeling of affection is pretty deep. It's pretty deep, and I think you have a lot of patience to continue to persist with him. I just don't know if it's going to be forever. You know what I mean? Steve or Alora, do you guys get anything else for her? Because it's a little...
No, that's okay. I do get a lot of some stress.
Yeah, stress.
You know, within the relationship. It could be, in the end, a very... very eye-opening and spiritually growing experience, but we can grow through stress, or we can grow through, you know, joy. And so I think part of it may be important, and I'm not sure, this, because you have a lot of integrity, and you want integrity in the relationship, and you're worried about this. You're worried about trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very important for you to be able to come to a place of peace. Yeah.
I want integrity,
You know, it's going to depend a lot on how much you... Like, no matter what our partners do, and this is easier said than done, but it is a truth or a reality, let's say, that no matter what our partners are like, you can come to a place of making a decision that, you know, I'm not going to worry all the time as to whether or not I can trust them. I'm going to, whatever it is, you know, assume that I can, or... you know, decide that you can't and then act accordingly. But one way or another, you need peace of mind, and it will probably come down to a decision you're going to make. Otherwise, you won't have a whole lot of peace of mind.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'll give that some thought. I really wanted to work, you know. I really like this person. Not, I love this person, but I really like this person. It's like we're really good friends. And, you know, I don't want to be hoodwinked and bamboozled again.
Right. I'm sorry, Steve. You want to say something?
Yeah, I get the feeling that... this relationship is not going to be easy and smooth flowing for a number of years. And to be more specific, my guide say that he's a lot of fun to be around. He's got a beautiful smile. He's very alluring, confident socially, less confident professionally and academically, and a good person, heart of gold. I mean, you know, and also there's something about food. Does he cook? Does he make good food?
No, he does a lot of work with people that are alcoholics.
Food?
He does a lot of work with people that have addictions and stuff like that. He works in the health field.
Okay. Because I'm getting something about food. Does he really do you cook food, good food for him? Is there something about food and cooking great food and enjoying good food together?
I do. Yes, we eat all the time.
Yeah, because he really enjoys your food, and your you know, the food you make is absolutely fantastic. The my guide say as well that he can be a little childlike, and despite the work that he does, he has, you know, as we all do, he has some issues himself. And you're the strong one. You give him advice, you give him guidance, and he looks to lean on you for guidance. But this is a relationship. You're either going to have to talk with him openly and honestly about exactly what you want and expect from the relationship, and see if he will, you know, that if he can commit to that, and you're going to have to make a judgment and make a decision. But he's one of these people that takes him quite a long time to really mature. But there's, regardless of that, there's a lot of affection towards you, and there's a lot of karma as well. I feel as though you should recognize each other from the past.
Yes.
It's a very karmic relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of affection. So my guide to saying, in summary, you must sit down with him, look him in the eye, and say, look, this is what I would like our relationship to be like. Do you think that this is what you want, and can it be this way? Can we commit to it being this way? And if so, wonderful. Let's go for it, because there's a lot of affection and it could be good. But if you're not clear from his response that's absolutely the way he could do it, then you're going to have to make a decision. And that decision is either you're going to be with him and recognize it's going to take quite a number of years for him to settle down and mature as you would like him to, or you'll have to make the decision to move on. I know that's not a straightforward answer, but that's what my guides are saying in my ear for you.
Okay, well, thank
you
very much
for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Sure. Rita, I know that before we leave, you have been so wonderful to have as a co-host with us, and I don't know if there's anything you'd like to say. Rita will no longer be joining us. She has so many other obligations. She's a very much wanted lady. And so is there something you'd like to say to everybody?
Oh, Alora, that was very sweet. Thank you. Well, I have to tell you, I had a great time working with all of you. And I am very busy with a business that I just started and so many other obligations, like you said. But I'm going to be available out here on psychicaccess.com to do the angel readings for people, and I absolutely love doing it. I loved working with each one of you, and I thought that it was probably one of the biggest blessings I've had this whole year. So I feel so blessed to have met all of you, and I appreciate your camaraderie and your love. And I know this show is going to continue on and be very successful, so best of luck to all of you, and all of my love to the listeners. And you can find me at Psychic Access.
Thank you, Rita. And I wanted to just say to you, Rita, it's been wonderful to have you here. I know that you haven't been here for long and you've got to put more time into your business, but it's just been great. And I know that you'll listen from time to time, and you're on Psychic Access. And I don't know, I think that we'll have you back here at some point in the future, whether as a guest or in some shape or form. But it's been just wonderful to work with you.
I love that, Steve. I would. Thank you so much.
Yeah, likewise. The feeling's mutual, and we love you. We hope you keep in touch with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I will. Thank you so much. And thank you, Doug, for making it all possible. Doug's the man behind the scenes.
Yes, our producer. He will not speak. Anyway, but I know he's saying you're welcome. I know it. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Rita. Next week, our show, we hope to join us next week, because next week our show will be anchored by me, Alora, and we're going to cover animal communication. We're going to be featuring Cynthia Siegel. She's wonderful. Animals are all too often seen as our subjects, or these other things, if you want to call it that, that exist in our world. Many are ignored, abused, or just considered fun to have. Because animals cannot speak as we do, they're often thought to be unintelligent, non-feeling, and often, very often, misunderstood. Even for those of us who love our animals, we have little knowledge as to how to understand their inner nature and what they're really about. So I ask you to join us for next week's show to discover the purpose that our animals play in our lives, how we can best play out our purpose in theirs, their inner nature, how they communicate with us, and how we can communicate with them. So it's going to be a great show. It'll give us a tremendous amount of insight. Cynthia is wonderful. Cynthia is an amazingly accurate and truly gifted intuitive consultant, and she advises clients. She talks to them about their businesses, families. She advises on pets, and she does this internationally. She delivers very clear and detailed readings with honesty, integrity, and compassion through personal sessions by phone or email. Cynthia is an acknowledged mentor of people already working with energy, so her amazing skill set also includes she's a medical intuitive, medium, and, of course, animal communication specialist. Cynthia is featured and acknowledged in many books and in the soon-to-be-released movie, Real People, Real Shifts. So keep an eye out for that. That's called Real People, Real Shifts. If you want to find out more about Cynthia, or if you want to contact her to get to know her better, please be sure and visit www.cynthiasegal.com. And with that, we'd like to say our goodbyes. Rita, would you like to say goodbye for the evening?
Yes, I would. Goodbye, everybody. Many blessings, many blessings, and much love to you. My love and my heart goes out to all of you for much love.
Steve, how about you?
Yeah, I want to just say to everybody, thanks for a wonderful show, and very excited about the animal communication show next week. I have a bunch of animals here that need to be communicated with, so they need to learn the rules of the household.
That's right. So I'm
looking forward to that show.
They're probably going to tell you the rules.
Yeah, they seem to think that they manage the rules, so we'll see if I can change next week.
Anyway, thank you all for being with us tonight. We hope we look forward to having you with us next week. And God bless to everyone. Have a great week. Good night.